Good evening. Boy, a lot more people are outside tonight. I wonder why. It's been a really full week. I've been blessed immensely by all the things that have been going on, and I'm thankful to God for His grace and mercy on our lives, even in this heat. Back home, it's 113. Yeah, that's in the San Gabriel Valley. So we're very blessed to be here. It's at least 10 degrees cooler than that here, I would think. This evening, we're going to, at the end of the message, and I'll direct you as to when that is, we're going to have a prayer ministry time, and there, I'll give you the specific reasons as to why. But rather than in the sanctuary this evening, the prayer ministry will be along the walkway to my right and your left. So at that juncture, if you feel led to be prayed over and prayed for, then if you make your way out of the sanctuary through any door or from the back, and there'll be the prayer ministry teams will be lined up along the walkway on your left side of the sanctuary. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. And now, Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations that are upon my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had a situation, or are you in right now, where God has called you or is calling you into something and you just are having a hard time saying yes? In fact, your initial impulse is just to say, no, God. That ever happened? Well, we're going to be looking at that this evening. I became the pastor of Evergreen Baptist Church in 1977. When I was called to become the senior pastor, I had minimum qualifications. Actually, I had no qualifications and no experience as a pastor. I felt like I didn't have enough. In fact, I felt like I didn't have anything, and yet I responded to the call. Here's a picture of my family and me when we first started. And actually, Bethany was disability. This is probably a bit after I got the call, but that's the two of us. You don't recognize me. I'm the one on the, you recognize me. I knew how to do two things semi-adequately: teach the Word of God and pray. I remember my first day in the office, I had no idea what I was supposed to do. So if there was ever someone who could or should have said no to God, it should have been me. But I said yes. Once again, in your life, is there some area to which God is calling you? Maybe a church is calling you to be a church school teacher or a youth advisor. Or maybe He's calling you to become part of the usher team. Maybe He's calling you into some sort of leadership role of a fellowship group. Is God calling you to something? Maybe it's a job change, a career change. Perhaps it's a relationship change. A call to be helpful to somebody that you know who is struggling. A God-given desire to volunteer for civic duty, or perhaps even run for an office. Perhaps a request to serve on the school board, the local school board. Is God calling you to something and you're hesitant to say yes? In fact, you are more prone to say no. Is God calling you to something, and what should you say? There's a person in the scriptures that would, if he were alive today, be right alongside of us in the desire to say no as opposed to yes. And his name is Moses. Moses got a substantial call from God, and he was very reluctant to say yes. Let's take a look at the life of Moses. First of all, why do we say no? Why did Moses want to say no? Why we say no? Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Why we say no to God. Here's one reason, as demonstrated by Moses, verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" There are times that we feel inadequate. Times we feel inadequate. That we just don't have enough. You see, Moses felt inadequate. "Who am I" is another way of saying, "I am inadequate." "Who am I" is another way of saying, "I just don't have enough to do what you're asking me to do, O Lord." Have you ever felt inadequate? Not up to the task? not good enough to get the job done. You feel like failure before you've even begun. Thomas Edison failed over 2,000 times before inventing the light bulb. Thomas Edison didn't personally fail 2,000 times. He turned the project over to his company and hired experts to work on it, and they helped him fail 2,000 times. Personally, I think it's worse when other people are in on your failures and feelings of inadequacy. Here's a quote about failure from Thomas Edison. "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that it won't work." A great attitude. As a kid, I always felt inadequate. Always. I would never volunteer for anything, figuring I might get it wrong. That's a very Asian way of looking at things. You know, when the teacher asks, who knows this particular answer? And even though I thought I knew it, I would never raise my hand. Always feeling inadequate. I just didn't quite have enough to raise my hand. So there are times we feel inadequate. Do you feel inadequate to whatever God is calling you to do? And is that the church is coming and ask you to be a youth advisor? Ha! Me, work with kids, young people, teenagers? I can barely handle my own. Do you feel inadequate? Other times we feel ignorant. We feel ignorant. We don't know enough. We just don't know enough. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. When Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God, I just don't know enough. What if they ask me what your name is, and what am I going to say? I don't know what your name is, God. Moses didn't have all the answers. People seldom do when they're called by God to do something. He said, "What shall I say to them?" Moses didn't just have the lack of one answer. He probably had none of the answers because he wasn't even sure what God was calling him to yet. I once attended a Walk Through the Bible seminar. I don't know if you know what that is, but they teach you hand motions to learn the books of the Bible and what's going on inside of them. And about halfway through, after we got done with the Old Testament, the leader of the Walk Through the Bible asked for like 8 volunteers. "Raise your hand." Right? And it's amazing. Some people actually raise their hand. And there's no way I was going to raise my hand and display my ignorance, display my inadequacies in front of like 200 or 300 people. So the group got up there, about 8 of them. And then the leader said, "Okay, everybody out there, stand up." And we all stood up, and these 8 watched the rest of us go through the hand motions for the Old Testament. Boy, but I remember there's no way I'm going up there because I felt so ignorant. I was probably in no worse or better shape than everyone else who's taking that particular seminar for the very first time. You ever say no to God because you feel like, "Well, I don't have all the answers. I just don't know enough." So we feel inadequate. We feel ignorant. Thirdly, we feel incapable. We just don't feel competent enough. We don't feel competent enough. We feel incapable. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4 of Exodus. "And then Moses said, 'What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you.'" What is Moses saying here? Hey, people aren't going to listen to me. Why? Because they know I'm incapable. He felt like he lacked authority. He felt like he lacked credibility. People wouldn't believe him, and therefore they wouldn't follow him. He felt incapable of being a leader to the people that God was sending him to lead. Maybe you've just been made a supervisor at work, and you're wondering, is my group, my team, going to listen to me? Am I capable enough in their eyes for them to follow me? Or do we just don't feel competent enough? When I was in college, I worked for the L.A. County Fire Department in the weed abatement department. And after the first year and a half, they made me a foreman of a tractor crew. So we cleared out massive amounts of brush and weeds to cut breaks around big areas that could burn. And the guy that was my tractor guy was a veteran guy. He was like in his 50s. And I was just like a collegian. And I remember wondering, is that guy going to listen to me? I felt so incapable of leading him because he was the veteran tractor guy. Praise the Lord, it worked out. But I had this feeling of inadequacy, incompetence, and a feeling that I was incapable of leading someone who was a veteran. And you know, when Moses went, there were a lot of people that were older than Moses. So we feel inadequate at times. We feel ignorant. We feel incapable. We also feel inept. We feel inept. We aren't gifted enough. Not just knowledge, but the gifts and talents. We just don't have enough of it. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Yesterday I shared from this text. We don't know if he had a learning disorder or a speaking disability, or whether he just didn't like speaking. Either way, he's questioning his ability to communicate. Whether he had the gifts and talents necessary to do what God was going to call him to do. You know, when I first started pastoral ministry, I felt absolutely inept. I didn't know if I had the gifts necessary to lead a church family. And yet, in some sort of moment of blind faith, I said yes to God. Maybe in some moment of blind faith, it's not a bad way to have faith. Maybe God wants you to say yes to him to whatever it is he's calling you to do, to whatever it is he wants you to be for his name's sake. And then finally, in the life of Moses, sometimes we feel no inclination. He didn't feel inclined to do it. Turn to Exodus chapter 4, verse 13. But he said, meaning Moses, "Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will." God, use somebody else, not me. Moses just didn't want to do it. He gave all these excuses, but bottom line, he didn't want to do it. He wasn't inclined to do it. We oftentimes give excuses for things that you believe maybe God's calling you to do, when really, if you scrape everything else away, you just don't want to do it. Too inconvenient. Lacking the creature comforts in that particular arena of ministry or work that you've been called to perhaps do. I want you to know something. If God undeniably calls us to do something and we hear him, if we tell him, "God, I'm not inclined to do it for whatever reason," I think we are at risk of experiencing the anger of God, which we heard about this week in the morning. Turn over to Exodus 4, 14. Exodus 4, verse 14. Moses said, "Please send whomever you will, because I'm not inclined to do this, Lord." And in verse 14, it says, "The anger of the Lord burned against Moses." That's just a thought for you. If God is calling you to do something, and after you give him all the excuses, and really, bottom line, you just don't want to do it, you run a risk. Perhaps the anger of the Lord will come upon you. Remember, his anger is not sinful. It's righteous and holy. But we can say yes, even though we feel just like Moses. Why? First of all, because we know that God is with us. God is with us, and he is enough. Exodus 3:12 says this, "And he said, 'Certainly, I will be with you.'" This is the Lord speaking. "And this shall be the sign to you, that it is I who have sent you, that you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall worship God at this mountain." Even though we feel inadequate, we should know in the midst of our feelings of inadequacy that, hey, God is with us, and he is enough. Now, God simply told Moses, "I will be with you." And it wasn't as if Moses couldn't do it. It was that God would be with him through it all. You know, whatever God's calling you to do, if he's calling you to do it, he's not going to abandon you. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 13, says of Jesus, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. We celebrate that every Christmas. Emmanuel, God is with us. Every time we say that name of God, Emmanuel, we're singing or we're shouting out loud, God, you are with us. You're with me to whatever it is you call me to do. Remember what Jesus said just before his ascension. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." And we're not there yet, which means what? Jesus is still with us. So perhaps God is calling you to something, and you're prone to say no because we feel inadequate. Know this, God will be with you, and he is enough. We can say yes even though we feel ignorant, because we know that God is for us, and God is enough. We know that God is for us. Look at verses 14 and 15 of chapter 3. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations." God is for us. That's why he's having Moses tell the people, when they ask what his name is, what exactly God is telling him to say. God is not only with Moses, but God is for Moses. Tell him that I sent you. Tell him my name, who I am, the great I am. So he provides an answer for Moses. Psalm 30, verse 10 says this, "Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper." Be my helper. Romans 8, 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Psalm 118, 6 says, "The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We feel ignorant, but we can go ahead and say yes. Why? Because we know God is for us, even in our ignorance, even if we don't know all the answers. Is what God is calling you to do, is it an area where you feel like, man, I just don't have all the answers? If I teach church school, what if they ask me a question I can't answer? Remember, through that whole experience, God is with you, and God is for you, and God is enough. And we can say yes even though we feel incapable. Why? Because we know God is powerful enough. God is powerful enough. In Exodus 4, verses 2 to 9, God does a series of miracles for Moses. And I think he did it to show Moses, you may feel incapable, but I'm the one that has the power. So go ahead and say yes. You know, God can and will empower us to do whatever it is he calls us to do. I was amazed. After the first year of ministry at Evergreen, I felt like every time I got into the pulpit, the Lord was with me, the Lord was for me, and the Lord empowered me to preach. I'm an introvert. I don't like getting up in front of people. You probably can't tell that, huh? But I am. I'm an introvert. We can say yes even though we feel incapable. Why? Because we know that the Lord is powerful, as I shared. We can say yes even though we feel inept. Even though we feel inept. Why? Because we know that the Lord provides enough. We know that the Lord provides enough. Exodus 4:12 says this, "Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say." I don't know what to say. I'm slow with speech. What am I supposed to say? How am I supposed to say it? And will I get it out? And God says, don't worry. I'm with you. I'll provide enough for you to get the job done. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord, it will be provided, Jehovah Jireh. He's going to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And what happens at the 11th moment? He provides a ram to replace Isaac as a sacrifice. God provides. He always provides just enough to get it, whatever it is that he's called us to do, to get done. What's God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do? I believe he may be calling some of you into the field of missions. And all the fears, all the inadequacies, all the things that Moses said to God is what you have been saying to God. It doesn't even have to be a missions field. Some responsibility at church. They need a new treasurer. Are you willing to say yes if it is indeed God who is calling you? You know, God's been very good to our church family over the years. I just praise the Lord for it. And it's not about the things we do. It's about the things he does for his name's sake. And so some time ago, the church board, as I shared earlier, asked me to find my successor, something I just didn't want to do. But they said the magic words to me at the board meeting when they asked that. They said this: it's what's best for the church. And those were the magic words. Because I'm always for trying to do what's best for the church. So we went on this exercise of seeking the voice and the face of God in finding my successor. And then the Lord provided from the world of professional football, Rocky Seto. Rocky had never been a pastor before. So I knew that when I called him up, he might be a little taken aback, and I was prepared for him to be just like Moses. And it's interesting, his response. And I'm going to ask Rocky, Brother Rocky, to come forward now and share a little bit about how he felt as the Lord called him to be the next senior pastor of Evergreen SGB.
Thank you, Pastor Corey.
I scratched it off.
When Pastor Corey called me up in August 2016, and he said, I think you might be my successor. I said, what? We're in preseason and getting ready for a football season at the Seattle Seahawks. And yeah, when he mentioned pastor, a lot of thoughts came to mind. It doesn't make sense. I mean, after all, I've been in football for 30 years. I mean, I committed my life to knowing the game, teaching the game, advancing the game, playing the game. And this is where I've dedicated my life. So for 30 years of football, you want me to be a pastor? But I'll tell you what, it also reminded me of how God has called us and taken care of us through football. It didn't make sense either for me to walk on at US either. I mean, think about that. Look at me. Do I look like a football player? There aren't many guys that look like me walking the halls of Heritage Hall. And that didn't make sense either. But for whatever reason, God called me to do this. It didn't make sense also when I felt like the urge of not going to the doctoral program in physical therapy and volunteering as a football coach at USC. That didn't make any sense either. But through it all, 18 years later, God just had me coaching. And the more I thought about it, the more confidence I got in this. Wow, look at God. Look at your track record. Look at your track record, what you have done. And I just thought to myself, this is starting to make more and more sense as I thought about it. Because what we've been doing for the last 30 years didn't make sense either in the natural. It's all been about what the Lord's been doing. And that's really where I gained a lot of encouragement. Just thinking back on how God has been with us, Christ has been with us this whole time. Now, there's a big difference now. When I was making those decisions, should I go into, should I walk on from my junior college to USC, or should I not go into the doctorate program to go into volunteer as a coach? There's a big difference from back then to 2017 or 2016. I had five sets of eyes looking at me now. Okay, before it was just me making those decisions. That was a big variable. That was absolutely different. And I started hearing things from people who loved me, people who cared. Things such as, you know, if you go into pastoral ministry, don't you think that's irresponsible? Right? I mean, I don't know. Think about it, parents. You know, like the NFL, they do pay you pretty good now, okay? That part is pretty nice. And football has been an incredible thing. You know, like if you were to ask me what was coaching football at the University of Southern California and at the Seattle Seahawks, like, it was incredible. It was ridiculous. It was like a dream beyond my wildest dreams. Of course, it had ups and downs, but it was phenomenal. So as but I had five sets of eyes looking back at me. People were saying, you know, how are you going to like pay for your kids' college? And how are you going to take care of them? How are you going to support your family? Well, this came to mind. First, let me read you 1 Peter 2:9 at the end here. Bible says that God has called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Okay, let me just explain. Do I truly believe that Christ has pulled me out of the pit of hell and he's literally going to take care of me for eternity? Do we actually believe that, Christian? And some of the people that are talking to me were claiming to be Christians. I said, do you actually believe that fact? So if I could believe that Christ, Jesus, takes care of my eternity and your eternity, how can I not trust him for the next, I don't know, 50 years or for some college? That just put things in perspective. Like, all right, I could trust him. I look back at my track record, although I had doubts, like, man, I never pastored before. I just started seminary. I don't know what it's like to be a pastor. But I said, Lord, look, I just look at your track record in my life. But then really, the ultimate realization is like, do I actually trust that Christ is my Lord? Do you believe that? And really, honestly, I believe God's given us more information on this one next to following Christ as Lord than any other decision in my life. And really, what I like to just impart here is this. It didn't make sense in the natural. It doesn't make sense. It's been an incredible opportunity to talk about this to the secular world because they just don't seem to understand. But when you think about it, it makes perfect sense in the world. It wasn't that hard of a decision. When you just continue to look back at God's track record in your life. So really what it came down to, there was so much information that God gave me. So if you are trying to wrestle with a decision right now, make sure that this is what God has called you to do, okay, first of all. All right, we finally came together and we were absolutely clear that this is what God has called us to do. And really at the end of times, Jesus is Lord and we're gonna be called into account someday. Did I obey you, Jesus? And here's a word of encouragement, and I talked about this a little bit at the seminar that I did earlier. If you are wrestling with a decision right now, the Holy Spirit's stirring something within your heart, your thoughts, you're dreaming of stuff that just, man, this is stuff doesn't seem to make sense. Why would I leave my business? Why would I do this? Why would I start this thing? Why would I reach out to these people that I have no connection with? Just know this, it's very important how we define success. Brothers and sisters, we don't define success the way the world does. The world defines success in achievement, making sure the church grows really big, people like me, all that stuff, right? Oh, we want those things. Those things are very important. I'm just talking about my own life. But really, success in the Christian life is, are you obedient to the Lord? You think back to all the saints. Paul ended up dying. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Jesus was murdered on the cross. At that moment in time, that seemed like a failure. The point is this, ease yourself of the results. God's got that handled. obey God, that is successful. That is what we're looking to do. That gives God ultimate glory because you take him absolutely seriously and you could trust him in it. So I just want to just let you know, this wasn't about us. This is not about me. This is about the grace. This is a mercy that we get to serve Christ in any fashion. So that's what happened. It didn't seem to make sense at all. In the natural, still doesn't make sense. But as I just look back at my life, it started to make more and more sense. And if God is calling you to do something, I'd urge you to take that urge seriously. So thank you for that time.
As John and Bethany come forward, let me share a thought. And then we're going to have a time of reflection, your own personal reflection, as to whether or not you're ready to say yes to God to whatever it is he's calling you to do. Now, Moses is one of the greatest leaders of all time. Yet he had feelings of inadequacies, ignorance, being incapable, ineptus, and he just didn't want to do it. Are you like Moses? Is God calling you to do something and you feel inadequate, ignorant, incapable, and or inept? Remember, it's not about you. It's all about God. He is present. He is partisan, he is powerful, and he is a provider. Is he calling you to become a missionary to Japan? Is he calling you to some area of service in your church? Is he calling you into the missions field as you enter retirement? Something to do in the neighborhood? What is God calling you to do? Remember, it's not who I am that counts. It's who God is. It's not who I am that counts. It's who God is. And God is the great I am. Is the great I am calling you to do something? Is he calling you to do something? Reflect upon that for a few moments.